Welcome to Three in the Box. Once again, this is the Meat Beast, and obviously we'll be rebroadcasting on Cynet Radio, but I'm sitting here in the studio right now with Aaron.
What's up?
And Kenny.
Yo.
And in the back here, we got our producer, Jive.
Hello, folks.
Which he barely picked up on that microphone. My fault, it swung out a little bit. It's still a little chaotic in here in our headphones, so we're going to just kind of rant for a second. Of course, we're going to talk about the Wild. Things have been going on insofar as trades. Things have been going on in scores and scoring summaries for the games and the games they got coming up. We're going to try and do a quick breakdown, of course, on the women's hockey for college and for the Gophers men's as well. And we'll give you a quick rundown of the Class A and Class AA standings as they go into the semifinals. But that being said, who wants to kick it off looking at different Wild news?
So, yeah, Charlie Coyle sent back down to Houston. Five games, he was a minus one. Two penalty minutes, six shots, no goals. I don't know. I liked him playing up here.
Yeah, I mean, he was brought up because the Wild needed a body, a big body, someone who could play defensively, or not necessarily defensively, but be physical. Because
Kanapka and Clutterbuck weren't doing a good enough job.
Well, the Wild were still getting out manhandled by the, in the boards and in the back end, you know, behind the net. They were just getting pounded.
Fair enough.
Did Coyle help them? I don't know. I mean, I think he's supposed to be more of a two-way guy, but he wasn't scoring anything and he wasn't really producing anything offensively. So as big as you can be, we've already got Kanapka who can kind of be physical.
Yeah. And we've got other big boys who can be physical if need be.
Right.
Any thoughts on why he was failing on that?
He just needs
a little more conditioning on a guess.
He's still young. He's still really young.
His second game he was playing first line.
Yeah, see that's why I was initially going with needs a little more conditioning probably. Also if I remember correctly, was that a game against the Canucks on the last one? Before he got sent down? The Avalanche. I'm sorry.
Avalanche, yes.
I knew it was a rival, and I forgot which one it was. I totally got confused on the schedule there for a second. I apologize. All right. So, yeah, Coyle sent back down. I'm going to argue, he just needs a little conditioning to get back into shape, or not back into shape, but to get up to the par that we want to see out of him.
Well, it'll be nice just to have a guy who can play first or second line that has that size.
Very true. We need somebody that can go out and enforce if need be.
Keep him in the system.
We've got Kanapka for that.
We do, but Kanapka's you missed it last week, but we were talking about it. He's a scrapper, but he's not really a full-on heavyweight.
No, true.
You know, he has no problem getting down and dirty, but he's not going to be a full-on heavyweight knockout enforcer.
Right. And I don't think he's as big as Coyle is either.
No, he's not.
No. Okay, so Coyle definitely has a role to fill once he kind of starts to get comfortable with it.
I think he needs to be a true two-way guy.
Absolutely.
Without an offensive presence, we've got plenty of guys who can play physical and can't score.
Yeah.
You know?
We got tons of that.
And speaking of which, Matt Cassian, he clears waivers and he's reassigned to Houston. So who knows what his future is in store for him. I mean, I don't want to say he's getting old because he's like 24, 25, but, you know.
But for that league, he's starting to hit and kind of an age cap, although we've seen players that are currently on the Wild roster come up well after that age.
Right.
Colin!
No, this is true. And I mean, he's got tools that are very particular and are going to be of use to someone, even if they're not of use to the Wild right now. Because Kanapka is kind of filling that tough guy role, enforcer role, and he's not scoring or anything like that, and he's not winning fights, but he's getting in there getting scrappy. And would it not be better to have a scrappy guy that can sometimes be, at least not be a liability on the ice, than to have a guy that's just a fighter? Because having just a fighter, that's a wasted roster spot in some regards.
Especially with a shortened season.
Right.
Well, think about how much, especially in a shortened season, exactly. Thank you, Kenny. But think of how much we all were rooting for Boogs to get his first goal. so many times when he was just like right there,
yeah,
open side of the net, just
and, first goal. How about his third one after like that 2.5 year drought?
Right. No, exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. We were all just so stoked because he got out there and he played and he had no problem just stepping up and defending anybody. But he wouldn't even get plenty of assists, but plays happen by his physical play behind the play.
He was getting pluses.
He was getting pluses. And we loved him for it, even though realistically there's no room on a bench anymore for just a straight ahead goon.
No.
Let's see, that has nothing to do with our next topic, of course. Of Josh Harding finally saying that his MS is affecting his play and going on to injured reserve. Hopefully they can figure out some sort of combination of meds and physical therapy to be able to get him back up and in the net at some point, because we all know we prefer him in the shootout.
Well, I got to say, Backstrom's been pretty good this year.
He's been stepping up, but...
Yeah, I mean, granted, he did lose the last shootout, but, yeah.
No, he won the last. The Detroit?
That was not
a shootout.
And was certainly not a shootout. We'll get to that game in a moment. But.
Actually, it was. The shootout against Avalanche. That was Backstrom.
Backstrom's last game. Yes. When he said the last game, I obviously was thinking.
No, it wasn't. Yes.
And I said that was neither Backstrom nor a shootout.
But.
My fault there. I wasn't thinking about the Avalanche.
At least on the upside, even though Harding's going to be out for who knows how long, Kemper has been doing a splendid job. Even though he lost his first game, he still did very well. Only gave up 2 goals. And any time your goalie only gives up 2 goals, it keeps you in the game. It gives you a chance.
Are we going to get into the game against Detroit then now? Yeah. Or are we going to talk about the Avalanche game first?
We'll wait. But... we've got Kemper, so Harding, we want him to get better because he's an asset to the team when he's healthy.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
But at least we've got someone in the wings. Even if Kemper fails, we still got Hackett, too. So we've got depth there.
Well, and Kemper right now has a 50-50 ratio, and Hackett, we know, can actually do well in the pipes. Saying Kemper has a 50-50 ratio, that's 2 games.
Sure.
We've had 2 games to watch him play NHL level.
But he was burning up the AHL.
And he's played 2 games against 2 very veteran teams.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's in small sample size. Small sample size.
Small sample size.
He's done very well, you know.
He did have a loss, but he did actually do very well against a dynasty team.
All right, that brings us into Jason Zucker and Johan Larsson getting brought up from Houston.
The moves keep continuing.
You know, you're going to have a lot of it, though, especially with...
with a 5-day training camp and then right into a short season, you're going to have a lot of moves from below and above.
No, absolutely. And, you know, you're going to see it.
They're going to be moving guys in and out, hoping someone sticks.
Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get sick. They're still trying to figure out lines.
I mean, some guys have stuck. Like, Brodin is stuck, you know, as far as being called up. I think he was kind of, I won't say he's guaranteed a spot, but he's still a pretty young guy to be guaranteed a spot.
Yeah.
But he's stuck. Granlund is stuck, even though he really hasn't. He's been on and off, and he hasn't been a real scoring threat.
I think the biggest problem with this, of course, is even though we've spent a lot of money on some veteran players for the Wild, we still are also very much standing behind we develop our youth and pull from that. It equally as much as we've been spending on our veteran right now. I think that's actually causing us a huge shift in chemistry and not being able to establish it when they're rotating lines as quickly as they are. To compensate for, say, flu bugs going around,
right.
People getting bumped down or bumped up due to unsatisfactory play. I think that's probably the biggest effect of this is the lack of chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to the regular season or shortened regular season, though. It was the same thing last year.
Yeah, well,
and every team's going to be suffering through it.
And the Wild is going to have to get used to cycling young guys in and out because, you know what, they got a lot of money going to a handful of guys, And
this is what's going to be the result.
They're going to need to have those kids step up and perform. Because once the Granlins of the world, once their contracts, the entry-level contracts get up,
they're not going to be...
You know, what are we going to do?
It's not going to be an expensive contract to renew.
Right. Assuming he develops like we anticipate he'll develop.
I think the biggest thing is actually that this is the time where we should be shining, since we've been a team that has done well by bringing up our lower-level players from the AHL and giving them chances. We've normally survived fairly well by them.
Right.
This season, it's been a bit rough. I mean, last season was no, you know, comfy bed of down pillows either, but I think this season we're at least doing better on it, but not as good as we've done in seasons past.
Right, and I think the lack of quality veteran depth, we got a lot of guys that are grinders. And you know what? Grinders, a team full of grinders ain't going to win crap.
Ooh, ouch. You know, I hate to say it, but you have a point.
You know, and we got grinders like nobody's business, but we need guys that can shoot, guys that can pass, and we lack that. But speaking of grinders, though, Setoguchi has been quite the grinder this season, and he had a high stick the other night against the Red Wings.
An almost questionable. Almost questionable high stick at that.
It looked like he was. It looked like he was trying to defend himself, as far as more of like a
mid ice collision and bringing the stick up to protect himself, not expecting the player that he hit to keep his head down and to catch him right at the drop.
Yeah, no, it looked really bad if you're watching real time, but it did look like it was reactionary. Not to make excuses and play the homer card, but.
No, you know. I mean, even the national commentators were saying that it looked like it was probably a defensive accident. It was going to be one that they'd have to go to the booth for no matter what. And they did have to go to the booth on it.
And it still goes back to the fact that he
apparently
has to be in
drive has ghosts
control.
In his
you still got to control your own stick.
No, you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, he brought his hands up to try and protect himself and accidentally caught the guy in the chin because he was looking down.
And apparently, you know, even Shanahan agreed because he only got a half day fine for his.
Which is the only reason it even had to go that far, since his salary, his daily salary, is more than 5K, which is why they had to go through the proceedings.
Right.
And that's the only reason. Otherwise, it would have just been the bench penalty or the 2 minute,
right.
4 minute. I don't know if there was their blood.
I believe so.
It was a four minute
major.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a double minor.
It was definitely stopped. It was, yeah.
4 minute double minor because there
was
blood.
He caught him right under the chin and snapped the neck up.
Yeah. It wasn't a very good looking hit. I mean, It didn't look intentional, though. I mean,
it did not look intentional, but it was one of the few times that you could actually say a hit like that did not look intentional. Normally,
right.
You see a hit like that, it's obvious and intentional, or at least looks like they're trying to pretend not going to do it.
But after that hit, he immediately stopped and went to the aid of the guy he just hit.
Yeah, he tried to apologize to the guy, and the ref went, no, now's not the time, brother. Go sit on, go grab some fine, sit down.
And he was obviously mad at himself because he knew it wasn't intentional. But you know.
Speaking of that was during the second period, unless I'm sorely mistaken.
I believe you're correct, and it was the one they actually killed off, actually.
Which was possibly the absolute best period of hockey I've seen in about 3 years.
I still find it kind of funny that he does that, he gets fined. PMB last year takes... Not even his fault. It was the defender's stick who brought PMB's stick up to his own face, and PMB gets suspended for it.
Right.
What's going on with Shanahan?
Did you send PMB a Valentine this year, Kenny?
No, I should have.
Okay. Just checking.
It was pretty ridiculous, and I know Russo made that. It's actually not just even Russo. There were several people that I've seen make that same comparison, like, where is the consistency here?
There is none, and wasn't there supposed to be with this whole new thing getting
in theory
dude out and putting, I don't know, maybe they're being more lenient with half a season, not trying to dole out suspensions because the guys are needed that much more? I don't know, but that just seems ridiculous. Because, I mean, really comparing those two, it...
Okay, see, you would have preferred to see him get a much stiffer penalty due to the fact that it looked very incidental.
No, not at all, but I would have preferred not to see PMB get suspended last year for something that wasn't his fault
fair
at
enough,
all.
But that's that season's
I guess concluded. I guess what I'm saying is... Like Aaron said, the consistency is not there.
Now, let's look at it this way. The consistency is getting better, or at least not being as way over the top.
At least it's transparent.
Yes. Thank you. I couldn't find the right wording.
Right.
Thank you.
But speaking of PMB, he is now a first-time father.
Oh, yeah. Congrats to him and
Suter. Actually,
Suter, his wife was induced the other day as well.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Congrats to both them.
We have this handy 3-day break in the schedule. I think it's our longest break so far this season.
I think it's probably the longest, only longer than 2-day break.
Right.
Yeah. So. I was pissed. I actually had
Are
time
you saying
to watch
that
games.
You were surprised that Suter could score?
Oh.
Okay, I'm not sure where to smack drive because I believe you, Aaron, or whether to smack you for being that, yeah. Anyway, okay, that second period of hockey, I just want to say it, in that game against Detroit was possibly one of the best periods of hockey I've ever seen in my life. Not just because the Wild trounced 3 goals in 2.5 minutes. There wasn't a whistle for 8 minutes.
But why don't we talk about the Avalanche game?
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Well, you know, we still got Backstrom out right now.
Well, Backstrom was out. He's sick. There's a bug going around the locker room, you know.
I totally misread. Sorry.
Yeah, a lot of guys have been out.
Yeah. I think Koivu's been sick.
Parisi. Hopefully they...
It is flu season, kids.
Hopefully
so
they...
Remember, wear your
that
gas mask.
The bud before game tomorrow night.
Yeah, so... We'll get into the games.
Okay, yep. Sorry about that. I jumped ahead a little bit just because I'm so excited about it.
I know. I mean, the Wild are actually kind of winning. Except for the shootout loss to Colorado.
Yeah, except for that.
They get a point. They lose 3-4. You know, they clawed their way back, and then they'd lost it. They were at one point, they were up 3-2 with, I think, about 12 minutes left in the game, and... They gave it up.
Okay, and that was with Backstrom in that, right?
That was with Backstrom. It went to a shoot. Ended up going to a shootout. The overtime was uneventful. Parisi and Koivu both miss in the shootout, and Hajduk and Duchesne both get goals.
You know, I've really liked Duchesne as much as I don't want to talk good about anybody playing against the Wild. I liked Duchesne since the first time I saw him on the ice, not realizing that Colorado was putting a rookie on the ice and going, why the hell is this guy on their team? Why is he skating in game one outside of the country? Why don't I know about him? Looked up his info and was like, oh my God, can you even shave? And he's, even though he's been hit and miss for him, I can understand why he actually made that goal.
Right. And getting goals for the Wild was Koivu and Parisi. Rupp was a surprising one to get a goal. It was basically a garbage through. I think he jammed it in, if I remember correctly. Basically wristed it in. And again, the first line keeps on scoring, and everyone else, I think Rupp was kind of a surprise because, you know, we've had no problems with their first line scoring, but, you know, second through fourth, they've been kind of absent. Well, so it was nice to see Rupp to actually score a goal.
Which is kind of weird since we broke up so many of our lines to get some depth.
Right.
And, yeah, obviously we'll see that a little bit when we come down to the player picks from last week. I did vote on it even though I didn't have a pick.
Yeah.
All right, now the win over Detroit.
Your favorite game in the world.
God damn, it was a good game. I don't get to watch whole games normally while they're actually happening. I didn't make it to the arena because, as you all remember, I refused to give the owners any money this year.
I got to say, the DVR is my friend.
yes. See, I hit pause at one point during one of the period breaks when I went out for a cigarette just so that I could hopefully not have as much time to wait on commercial breaks, but
yeah, you get caught up during the stoppages, and
it only,
you know.
I actually only ever managed to gain 10 minutes during the period break, and then I'd be right back into live. So it was an amazing game. Taken early down from Detroit, scoring a goal late in the first. Damian Brunner getting that with an assist from Datsyuk and Zetterberg. Detroit was looking like Detroit. They weren't looking like a full dynasty.
And they came out. They came out in the second, scored in 20 seconds.
20 seconds. Datsyuk.
Wow.
Finds the twine.
I think that was a record coming out of the
Zetterberg
intermission.
Ripping one. Actually, yeah, just coming right out. I don't know if it was a record, but it was.
It was a record against the Wild.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
But 20 second goal, just not even win the faceoff, but get it back between the blue lines. And Zetterberg ripping it up to Datsyuk and him just finding the twine right away.
It was hard to fault Kemper on that one. I mean, he was just beat. I mean, there was nothing he could do. His defensemen weren't pushing people out of their zones.
They weren't even in position yet.
No, it was embarrassing to the defensemen.
It was something that happened right off the initial faceoff.
Yeah, it was damn quick.
It was entirely blue line to blue line. Like I said, we won the faceoff. They got it back and then just got into the zone and made us pay for it immediately.
But then you had the rest of the second period.
Then
and
you had just an amazing, just some of the best hockey, regardless of the fact that the Wild scored 3 goals in 2 minutes and 32 seconds, if I remember correctly.
About almost 3. No, 9:35 was the first one. 13:45 was the last one.
Oh, within 5 minutes.
But the last two were within about 32 seconds.
Right.
The first and second were closer together than the second and third.
Nope. No, second and third were closer. Right? Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I'm on crack. Never
Heatley
mind.
Heatley had that first goal.
I've had too much coffee. I apologize. just a brilliant bit of play where the only stoppages of play were for goals until Setoguchi had that little
Right.
little who's your daddy to
his little double minor.
Yeah.
But the Heatley goal.
And that
goal,
was at the end of it. Prior to that, there was one offsides in that period.
Right.
And that's when they finally had a whistle that did not involve a goal. And that was 8 minutes of play. So possibly the best play I've seen out of an international arena.
Yeah.
Outside of an international arena.
And even then, questionable. When's the last time you watched an Olympic game without a whistle for 8 minutes? Seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
That is some of the absolute best and cleanest played hockey you can possibly watch. There is no way you get a chance to see that normally. I nearly exploded out of my seat because there hadn't been a whistle.
That I will add, even just going off your whistle talk, I think, I don't know if it was the first period of this game or of the Colorado game, but it was like every time the Wild touched the puck in their zone, they were icing it. It was like icing, icing, icing.
They've been
icing.
Having a lot of that this year.
It was painful. I mean, it was like,
and we saw a little bit of that in the third period of that game with Detroit.
Okay, but maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
No, there was one time that happened, maybe two.
Okay.
But that is something that does happen a little too much when the Wild take a small lead.
It's like they can't clear the puck, and so it's either they can't clear it and it gets intercepted and stays in the zone, or they ice it. There's like, they can't just dump it off in the middle, you know, mid ice and let it drag. It's like, it's got to be all or nothing, and yeah, it's frustrating to watch. It really is.
I mean, speaking of a clean game, there's only 10 minutes worth of penalty that entire game, and 4 of them were to Setoguchi for that accidental high stick.
No, and actually, it seemed like a rather clean game. I mean, all things considered,
which is not something we've been seeing a lot of this year between any teams.
And, I mean, especially considering this wasn't the first time the Red Wings and the Wild had met this season,
right?
You know,
now, and admittedly, the Wild have been struggling a little bit this season.
Well, so have the Red Wings.
So, true.
They're now they've got the same record.
One of the beautiful parts about that is both those goalies also have the same record of 1-1. Because they've both only played, at that point, they had only played 2 games in the NHL, that being their second game each.
Mm-hmm. Well, currently Detroit's got 1 more point than us.
That must be over the last couple days.
It was an OT. They got 3 OT losses. We've got 2, so they've got 1 more game than we do.
That's been since Sunday, though. So
yeah.
At the end of the game, we had even records. But Heatley's goal was actually a pretty – it was a typical Heatley goal.
Oh, it was sick.
You know, I mean
– there were six red sweaters in the way, and the Wild were wearing green.
Right. No, it was a nice goal. The thing I was most impressed with was Zucker's breakaway goal.
Yep.
It was beautiful. It was so damn beautiful.
Quite beautiful. There were a lot of good breakaway chances in that game, but...
Right. I know Clutterbuck had
wonderful.
Two or three.
Before the first goal was scored, Clutterbuck actually had the most looks out of anybody, I think, on the entire team at that point. He had like three in a row before he could even get off that shift.
Yeah, no, I mean, he had so many chances, it was like... Come on, just drop for him, really. He went off the crossbar.
His fourth chance was a shorthanded 2-on-1.
Right. I mean, he had so many chances. He deserved a goal.
He should have had a goal.
You know?
Even though he started growing the molester mustache that morning, and it still looked very, very molesty, I guess is the right word.
I thought it was very robust, personally.
Robust would also be a good word, but... you know, I'm not a true mustache aficionado, even though I'm too lazy to shave half the time.
Oh, and then the third goal was Mitchell's little wraparound backhand where he just kind of slapped it at the goal and it trickled in. And that was the game winner. I mean,
and that was just sick and wrong. I mean, it was amazing to see how well he paid attention at the top of the circle or at the bottom of the circle, as it were, when nobody else could find the puck after the face-off.
Yeah.
Because it sat there for a good 3-4 seconds, which feels like an eternity.
Right. It was just
nobody being able to see.
And then all of a sudden he just kind of whips around and bam. And I was like, wow.
Backhanded it like it was a slap shot and 5-hold Detroit's goalie.
You don't expect it from Mitchell at all. And I mean, because
you don't expect a situation like that to actually exist between those two teams in the circle at that.
And the way the Wild second through fourth lines have been playing, you don't expect any scoring from them, really. I mean,
yeah. Okay, and we're all burping a little bit because we're drinking what might be known as a champagne of beers, which tends to be a bit bubbly.
All right, moving on to Gophers.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we get to that, let's pull up the schedule on what the Wild have facing them right quick. Currently, we're looking at the Oilers tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m., and then the Flames Saturday night, let's see, that's at the Flames. Tuesday, looking at playing the Flames back at home. So if you want to get tickets, make it happen. If you guys got any predictions on that? Or
Oilers on the road, we'll see how healthy the locker room is.
And you know, Houston beat up on Oklahoma City. Which is the AHL franchise of
Edmonton.
Edmonton. So maybe there'll be some carryover into the NHL, we can hope.
There'll definitely be a little bit of carryover on that. But I'm pretty sure that the Wild will do well against the Oilers, probably do well against the Flames in the Saddle Dome, but then lose at home. It's going to be my prediction on that.
I believe it.
I hate to say it, but that's my call on it, just real quick.
I think they'll beat Calgary. I mean,
I think they're going to beat Calgary on Calgary's home turf.
Or at least be competitive. You
then
know?
Yeah. Calgary's going to come back here pissed off, and they're going to make us look stupid in front in our house.
If they split it with Calgary, I wouldn't be surprised. But Calgary looked so listless last time the Wild played them, so I don't even know.
Yeah, Calgary's not really doing too hot this year.
I will buck the trend, and I will say they'll lose to the Oilers, and they'll sweep Calgary.
Wow,
nice.
That hurts. All right, nice. Good hit, man. Kenny?
All right, so Gophers still sitting at number 2 in both USA Today rankings and in the USCHO rankings. Quinnipiac is still sitting on top in college hockey.
Who?
Quinnipiac?
Who?
Quinnipiac?
Who?
Who?
Exactly.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So
I think they're up near the Arctic Circle. Or
why did we let him try and pronounce that?
You want to read it?
Nope, not at all.
That's what I thought.
Knock yourself out there, Kenny.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry, is it pronounced Quinnipiac?
Yeah. Big boy, use your big boy word.
So in the USA Today, Gophers are sitting with 8 points. to 26 for first place votes, and it was, I think, about a 2-1 for the USCHL. Yeah, 34-15, so almost 2-1.
And as far as their games over the weekend, it makes sense. On Friday, they beat Wisconsin 3-2. They had three goals. All three goals were power play goals. They had two goals against, which were both 5-on-5.
Zoinks.
Yeah, you know, Wisconsin doesn't have a whole lot of a team this year. I mean, they're not even ranked in the USCHO. 18 for
USA Today.
USA Today.
Well, they did kind of give the Gophers a what for, though.
Right.
Well, especially when they got outdoors at Soldier Field.
Absolutely. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys did mention that's where I was at, and that's why I couldn't be here last week, right? Yeah.
No, you're in Bemidji.
I thought you were in Bemidji. Maybe we got some wires crossed there.
Okay. No, no, I wasn't even there. As much as
I thought you were playing with some beavers up there.
I was at Soldier Field. I was playing with a beaver at my house, but she'd not prefer to me refer to her that way.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you know, this would be the only time we could pull off the Naked Gun sample of nice beaver.
We need that sample.
We do.
Anytime have you ever seen a grown man naked? All right, getting back to it. So the Gophers had kind of a split. I mean, it was three games against Wisconsin this weekend, wasn't it?
Two.
So it was just Friday and Sunday.
Just Friday and Sunday.
All right.
They needed a day of travel going from Madison to Chicago, apparently.
God, really? Okay, so yeah, the Gophers won Friday, but it took a little bit. Sunday, not so much.
Sunday, they got their lunch handed to them.
More or less, yeah. It really wasn't pretty, and let's just say that they weren't quite ready for the outdoor ice on Soldier Field. I'm going to blame Illinois' road crews for that.
Yeah, they lose 2-3. It's basically flip flopping from Friday. I know they talked about on the broadcast. They talked about how the ice was in the sun for a good portion of the day, and that made things really soft.
Boo hoo! I mean, come on, they're supposed to be able to handle up to 60-degree weather.
It's outdoor.
Yeah,
it's outdoor.
Well, you're gonna get more natural ice conditions that way.
What happens when you put ice in sunlight?
It melts, but
you know,
well, and it's,
these guys' claim to fame though is that they can handle ice up to 60 degrees outdoor, and when it's 45 and sunny.
But it makes
it's gonna pinch the blade a little bit more and everything else. The thing is that we expected more out of our boys entirely due to the fact that they do actually go play a lot of park league stuff on warm days.
Yeah,
when it is pinchy on the blades, and for a change of pace, a state that doesn't even have a NHL team took us to school.
Well,
more power to them. You know, I'll give them that. You know, hey, brilliant way to do it. And I think it's just because all the Badgers were still pissed at the Bears.
I think Kenny's point is actually pretty interesting when you think about it. Because I know they talked for a while about maybe having a Winter Classic in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know?
Point.
And if he can't handle Chicago in February, how the hell
when
is
Mexico
gonna
has had an outdoor
yes,
game.
Mexico has. I believe we talked about that last year.
Yeah, we did.
And the ice was just absolutely terrible. I mean, they had chunks coming up. They were bringing out CO2 fire extinguishers to freeze chunks of the ice. It was bad.
So basically, they just had shitty ice handlers. Pardon my language.
Yes.
So apparently, they can handle 60 degrees only when it's gloomy out?
Apparently. Sunlight.
Not only when they hire somebody to actually deal with ice in warmer weather.
Yeah, it was just bad. And, I mean, the Gophers, they were getting creamed the whole game. You know, their game is passing. They like the one. They love the one-timers.
Yeah.
You know? And when the ice is choppy like that, that pass doesn't connect.
Well, and especially on a setup where they're cycling the puck six times around before taking a shot, you're not going to be able to do that on choppy ice.
Oh, no. And they were exposed. I mean, that exposed them.
It totally took away their normal advantage insofar as being able to connect on passing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping once we finally get a professional or collegiate outdoor game here that all this talking that we're doing right now doesn't come back to bite us.
They'll pay the big boys for that.
Well, and we do have good ice crew here.
Well, and it's going to be a case where it's going to be too cold and the ice is going to be too brittle because it's too cold.
I want to say that ice was handled by the Chicago Teamsters. Might know where Jimmy Hoffa's buried. I'm not sure.
Well,
we need crickets.
We do.
That'll do.
Was that putting a bullet, right, so bullet in someone's head?
Yeah, mine. All right, getting on to the Gophers women. Kenny, since you got such a crush on the Gophers women, let's hear about it.
Yeah, so still undefeated, 32-0. But the Beavers almost put the women in trouble.
I love it! The double entendres just keep happening. No intention.
Bringing the Gophers to OT. Almost.
Of course they would. Come on, keep a straight face, Kenny. Just keep reading it. You can do it. Come on, little buddy.
So, yeah, the Gophers ended up winning on a power play goal in OT. Yeah, it's the first time in their 40-game win streak that they have been brought to OT.
And the Beavers
brought it.
but they did sweep Bemidji on the weekend, and,
my second favorite school team.
All right. Let's see. Currently in the WCHA, insofar as the men's, though, before we get off of college hockey, St. Cloud State is currently winning, ranked number one in the WCHA.
I think they've pretty much held that almost all year, though, haven't
31
they?
31 points with 22 games played. Nebraska-Omaha is sitting second. Minnesota State is sitting third at 29 points. So it's 31, 30, 29, then 28 and 28. The Gophers and the Sioux. Excuse me. The Gophers and the Sioux both have 28 points, but due to tiebreakers, the Gophers are ahead. Still, obviously, like you said, according to all national stats, sitting
Gophers
well
are
top.
Still Gophers are still getting the votes.
Yeah.
There's nobody even close in as far as vote goes.
I mean, they can't help it if they lose to one of the strongest divisions in college hockey.
No.
Yeah. Know? I mean, the Badgers doing what they did this weekend brought them within a point.
Which brings up an interesting
the Sioux.
Interesting topic of, should a team that's ranked number five in their division still be able to be ranked number one or number two nationally, or should they start going more off of records rather than voting polls?
Overall records also affect.
It does affect it.
Well, I think you got to look individual. You have to look at the quality of competition, though, too, because if they're playing, Chickasaw State, or some boondock college from the south that doesn't have a proper hockey
system. Well, we shouldn't say boondock college, but
let's
say Tampa Bay U.
Right.
Now, if you put skates on their feet, they're not going to be able to skate on Tampa Bay.
Well, what's going to happen with Penn State next year? They're going to get rolled.
Right, they are.
I mean, they're going to be in one of the toughest divisions outside of the current WCHA.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan Tech?
No, Michigan Tech isn't.
Or Michigan State, Gophers, yeah. Wisconsin,
in the
Penn State,
Big
and
hockey.
Who is the sixth? Is somebody that I was kind of surprised about, but anyways, yeah, they're gonna get rolled.
Purdue,
maybe.
Purdue's in there. I can't remember all the Big Ten, Schmink Ten.
Yeah, they're gonna get rolled though.
Yeah, they are. And then talking about other Minnesota college, as Josh alluded to, in the overall NCAA rankings, Minnesota State is number 9 and St. Cloud State is at 7. So that rounds at the top 10. We got three Minnesota teams in the top 10. I wish we could talk more about Minnesota State and St. Cloud State.
Did we hear about the Bulldogs at all? Or where are they sitting? I just had it up. Let's see.
I don't think they're in the top 20.
Actually, are you talking overall for national then?
I'm looking at national right now, and I don't see them.
I don't think they're ranked.
They're not on the.
They're ninth in the WCHA, so I can see that. And Bemidji State is 10th.
Yeah, Bemidji State has had a tough run.
Yeah, they're not in the top 20.
Teams are struggling.
I mean, I wish we could talk more about Minnesota State and St. Cloud, but we just don't get the television of those teams
we don't,
in the Twin Cities here. You
and
know?
We're also starting to get crunched on time, so we should probably try and hustle quick on the next couple of topics that we got. What do we have next, since I'm on a totally different page?
Girls State Hockey Tournament.
Oh, yeah,
girls...
going on starting today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, realistically.
Right, Thursday.
So the Girls State Hockey Tournament is starting up. Anybody got the stats on that handy quick?
No.
No.
Brilliant. We suck as human beings.
But it's starting.
But it's starting.
We'll have a full recap next week.
Is that at Mariucci or the X? Does anybody know?
It is at
the X. I believe they're all at the
X. It is at the X. Lovely.
Battle line.
And that'll be section, all the sections for Class A and Class AA. The same kind of setup that they got for the men's tournament. Buy a session ticket. Enjoy two games of hockey and have fun, because it's going to be some of the best hockey you'll see played, which also brings us into the fact that the men's are going into the semifinals before their tournament coming up March 6th through the 9th.
Sounds about right.
Anybody got anything they want to bring out on men's hockey in the high school scene?
Talk to me in 2 weeks.
Okay, no. I'm trying to talk since I actually have shit, but everybody needs a beer.
Priorities.
So, I think it's about time for Minnesota Player of the Week.
Well, before we do that real quick, let's just give a quick breakdown, please, of the Minnesota Hockey Men's Tournament as it's shaping up for AA. Hill Murray is currently in the number one seed. Benilde St. Margaret's in the number two. Duluth East in the third seed. These have all stayed standing and have not moved at all. Egan, however, has jumped from number six to number four. Minnetonka has dropped from number four to number five. Edina went from number five to number six. Blaine still in the hunt, solid at number seven. Wayzata sitting in the number eight seed. Grand Rapids in the nine seed, especially after that stellar victory outdoors on Hockey Day in Minnesota, and Eden Prairie is in the number 10 seed. Somebody, anybody? I can't see our page that we're talking on because I was on
yeah,
the
we
high
need to.
Page.
It's you're introducing last week's choices and unveil
oh,
the winner.
Oh, wait. Oh, good God. Really? I didn't have that ready, you asshole.
So I will do it.
Thank you, sir. I thank you so much.
So, Minnesota Player of the Week, last week's choices were Josh Harding, who was called out for taking one for the team and saying, hey, I'm not good. Pull me out of the game. Devin Setoguchi, two goals, two assists, and Austin Krause, the Farmington high schooler who flipped off his coaches and put a goal in his own net.
I almost voted for him. I almost did. I did not, however.
However, the winner was Jive yet again with Josh Harding for the Wild. I think that's
I voted with him on that. I totally, Jive, I need a high five here. There we go. I totally voted for you on that one because I did think that was a very class act of him to say, it's affecting me, I need to put myself on injured reserve.
It. I mean, how do you argue with that? You know?
And you know, and you saw his passion when he took himself off the ice a couple of weeks ago in the first period and just beat the ever-loving crap out of his stick as he was walking into the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
And to be able to actually have, that's the only thing I think I've seen NBC's coverage do something right, where they followed a player going off the ice into the hallway. Normally, that's a bad thing. This time they showed the passion of what he actually was going through in his inner turmoil, which I thought was something that we should have seen.
So, Josh, do you have a pick for this week?
Oh, good God. Let's see. I think I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Mitchell for having the awareness after the faceoff to go, really, nobody noticed that puck just sitting there. Just sitting there. And I'm this big bear. And it's just this little bunny. Let me just stop right between this is just five-hole the Detroit goalie right now and ripping it in. I'm going to have to go with that.
So, Kenny, me and you, who wants to go first? You want to go first? I'll go first. I don't care.
Yeah, I can go.
Okay.
I'm taking the Beavers, all of them. It's because they are.
Yeah. The rapist. I mean, therapist. Therapist.
just for, you know, almost being the first team to give the Gophers women
the Lady Beavers.
The Lady Beavers.
Yeah, the Lady Beavers.
How many times can we say Beavers in this episode? Legitly. So, yeah, I'm taking the Beavers.
So that's your new career choice then. The rape, I mean, therapist.
Therapist. For the Beavers.
All right.
Okay, Aaron? With my choice, I'm going to go with Jason Zucker. His goal was just so fantastic. You know, it was lovely. I'm all a flutter over thinking about his awesome goal. And Jive?
All right. Well, I'm going to have to match you with that. I'm going to go with Jason Zucker as well. But I'm going to go for a different reason.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because the Wild, they were obviously in a poor, poor scoring drought coming up to the game that he was in there.
Right.
And we definitely needed some firepower there, and he did provide that. So I'm going to go with it, not just for the pretty goal, but for the offensive power that he provides.
From not the first line.
Right.
Right.
The offensive awareness and the shots on goal is what you're saying. Not the pretty goal, but the integrity of his play.
Okay, so I'll get pretty goal, he'll get integrity. I can deal with it.
Okay, so you got, yeah. Oh, God. So finesse versus just stalwartness by you two on the same player. Kenny's got a bunch of beavers hanging off his beard. And I'm standing by the fact that Mitchell managed to put a backhand in like it was a slap shot when everybody else on both teams forgot where the puck was. All right. Do we have anything else we need to bring up, gentlemen?
I think we about tapped.
All right, sweet. I got to go start pouring beers for people over at the bar I work at. Thank you very much for listening. This, of course, is Three in the Box. Everybody want to say good evening?
Yeah, this is Aaron. You can reach me on Twitter at AaronGMP, and you can check out my band. That would be two of the other guys in this podcast, and that's pinrot.com.
And this is Kenny. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999.
And this is Jive pushing all the buttons. You know me. You can follow me at Jive Midnight at Jive Midnight on Twitter.com. All right.
Once again, this is the Meat Beast. Thank you very much for listening to Three in the Box. Hopefully we'll have one of our specials that we are hoping to be a monthly special coming up, which we'll affectionately still refer to as Puck and Drunk, where we get some of the comics in to banter about what's gone on in the season so far with us while we make sure that they're too drunk to even know what's going on. You can find me on signetradio.com and the clubhouse show at signetradio.com. Please listen. Thank you very much for listening to this. And stay solid on the ice for the week.